Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. Your church can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 on the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Download the flyer and present it to your congregation today.
By taking this action last Friday, this Synod of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America has demonstrated itself to be neither evangelical nor Lutheran.
The Obama administration loves religious groups whose doctrinal beliefs align with what it wants to do in the moral, political, public square.
I think what Jesus was saying there on the cross is, I thirst, I desire to drink every ounce of your wrath, O God, so that no people must ever face it.
Wisconsin turkey producers love Issues Etc.
Well, everybody's got a story to tell. Some of our stories, journeys to the truth of the biblical view are very short. Mine can be told in probably 2-3 words. I was baptized, and then the story is kind of over, and my life has remained relatively unchanged, although there are a few bumps in the road. Some stories are longer, and some of them are far more involved, and some of them are actually really more extreme from one thing to another. And the story that we're going to tell in the course of this hour of Issues Etc. is one of those, from charismatic extremism to confessional Lutheranism with Bob and Tracy Lico. Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're coming to you live from the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference in Collinsville, Illinois, and thank you for tuning us in. You can join us with questions or comments. Even though we are here at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, we can still take your phone calls, your email, your tweets, and your Facebook posts. 1-877-623-6943. 877-623-MYIE. Send us that email, talkback@issuesetc.org, that tweet @issuesetc, or go to our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc, facebook.com/issuesetc. Bob and Tracy Lico Bob is a regular guest. Tracy, I think this is the first time we've talked with Tracy, if I'm not mistaken. They're co-founders of Discernment Ministry International, and they formerly were deeply involved in the charismatic renewal movement. Bob and Tracy, welcome to Issues Etc.
Thank you,
Pastor.
Thank
you. Thank you, Todd.
Bob, I'm going to let you start the story, if you would. Let's just start from how far into this, how deep into charismatic renewal, the charismatic movement, did you and Tracy go before starting to back out of it?
Well, it is a very long, strange trip, as Jerry Garcia used to say. But basically, the way that it began, I was raised in a Christian home, godly parents, good Presbyterian folk, you know, love the Lord. And I went to college, came to the University of Michigan, and all of a sudden, a bunch of the guys on my floor started getting filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues. Now, I wasn't walking with the Lord as I should have been, and certainly had forgotten my baptism at that point of my young life. And I began to wonder about this. I said, speaking in tongues, I'd like to go to these meetings and see. Oh, you can't go. Well, what do you mean? I knew enough of the Bible to say when Jesus was crucified, the curtain was torn in two, wasn't it? Everybody had access to God. You can't go. Well, what do I have to do? You have to go through Life in the Spirit seminars. So I said, okay. 6 weeks, at the end of 6 weeks, the Word of God community, which was my entree into the charismatic movement, laid hands on me, and yea, verily, I began to speak in unknown tongues. I didn't know what I was saying, and no one else did either. They were truly unknown. And so that was my beginning. And the Word of God community was a large, ecumenical, charismatic movement that started when the Holy Spirit fell at Notre Dame. correct, Tracy?
Yes.
Yes, Notre Dame. And they spread to different campuses, came to the University of Michigan, started a big community there. And they tried to live the Acts chapters, early chapters type of communal living. And they got very big. They were a part of the discipleship movement. That was an early expression of what became known as the Charismatic Movement out of Florida, and it was run by five men. They were called the Florida Five. Bob Mumford was one of them. Derek Prince was another. I forget these guys, other men. So I started off in the discipleship movement, which ended up being very abusive because it was all top down. Your spiritual head directed your life, even to the point of saying, I would come, let's say, to my head and say, Pastor Todd, I believe God would have me to marry Tracy Hunter. I'll pray about it. Todd would come back and say, Bob, that's not God's will. Met marriage off. And that's the way things ended up going in the discipleship movement. While I was in that, though, and I was still a student at U of M, I ran into a street preacher, a young guy, and as a part of the community, you had to join an established church. You had to be a member of a church. So I had to find a church to join. Well, I saw this guy, and I got to meet him, talked with him, and his dad was the pastor of the Pentecostal Church of God in Ann Arbor. So I said, Pentecostal? That's what I am now. I want to go to this church. So I went to Timmy Ward's church, had 12 people in it. They were all ex-coal miners from the Virginia and West Virginia, had come up here to build cars at some point. And through Timmy, I got into the Word of Faith movement. He started giving me these tapes by this man named Hagen, another guy named Copeland. And I thought, oh, they're pretty interesting. Then I heard a new ministry had opened up on the campus. And the pastor was a graduate of Rhema Bible Training Center in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And I'd already listened to Kenneth Hagin's tapes, and I knew that was Kenneth Hagin's school. This guy must really be powerful in Christ. You know, he started, oh, wow. So I go to this church, and sort of I'm coming out of the discipleship movement because I'm not liking all of their rules and bondage, even though the Pentecostals had their own lists of do's and don'ts. But the Word of Faith movement, now that really sounded interesting. So I went to this little church campus group, and there was a woman there named Tracy.
Alluring.
Yes. And the sad thing was, brothers and sisters, confess your faults, the Bible says. I was a bachelor until the rapture. There were a group of men that we were single for the Lord Jesus Christ. We were not interested in being sidetracked with any women. We were out to save the lost, cast out demons, and raise the dead. We didn't have time for emotional stuff. Well, the Lord has a way of working things out. Mm-hmm. And so I went from a bachelor to the rapture to one still believing in the rapture but now married. And now coming out of discipleship movement, out of the little Pentecostal church, into the Word of Faith movement with my wife. And then this little church began to grow, and we became satellite affiliate 201 of Robert Tilton's Bible College. He was the first guy to start a satellite live broadcast around the country of a Bible school. So I enrolled in his school, took his courses full-time, 4.0 grade point average in Word of Faith theology. Thank you very much. I can tell you all about how to get a bigger salary and the important things in the
We'll
scriptures.
Talk after the show.
Yes, yes. And so that's how I met my wife, and she has an interesting background.
Well, Tracy, where were you at this time? How did you come to, he talked about the crossroads between your two lives there, but how did you come to be involved in the Word Faith movement?
Well, I was raised in the Pentecostal movement. The church that I went to as a young child was an offshoot of the Church of God in Christ, and it was the church, and Kingdom of God in Christ, and it was a small sect offshoot. Bob really, really wants me to mention the fact that we believed that we would never die physically, and that was because the wages of sin is death. So if you don't sin, huh? You don't
You're
die.
Not gonna die.
So yeah, so that, I was raised in that environment and went to U of M, go blue, and went up there and immediately got involved with other Pentecostal groups and didn't know anything about charismatic or all I knew was speaking in tongues was right. And I did try Campus Crusade for Christ a little bit, but they didn't believe in it. They were like, no, that's ceased, that's over. And I'm like, no, I'm getting C's in my classes. I need the power of God. I need the power of God in my life right now. So then I went to another campus group, United Students for Christ, and this was a Pentecostal full gospel. I think that's what we use, one of the terms we used a lot. Because one thing Bob didn't mention, too, is that we started also going to full gospel businessmen's dinners once a month and those sort of things. So we had a chance to interact there, too, as well. So I was at this campus school and, this campus small group, Christian group, where we started to receive ministry or people used to come by, the guest speakers would come by, and they were also from Rhema, Kenneth Hagin's Bible school. And I got extremely interested in Word of Faith movement. I read all of Kenneth Hagin's books, Kenneth Copeland, Norval Hayes, because it was good news in the sense that they said you can be healed, totally blessed, you can be wealthy, and all you needed to do was confess with your mouth,
believe in your heart,
and possess
in your mouth.
Well, let's take a break there, Tracy, and when we come back, that's kind of a point that once you're hooked by that, they're going to reel you in. Confess with your mouth. The Word Faith Movement, we'll talk about it on the other side of the break. Bob and Tracy Lico are our guests, co-founders of Discernment Ministries International. Stay tuned.
The Church's Music from the 20th Century. The 17th Century. The 11th Century. The 8th Century. The 4th Century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Listen to what you want, when you want. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
He's the most Lutheran man in the world.
I'm not always in Pensacola, Florida, but when I am, I attend Emmanuel Lutheran Church.
Congregation of Emmanuel Lutheran Church of Pensacola, Florida invites you to join us for divine services on Sundays at 8 or 10:30. Sunday school and Bible class at 9:15. Whether you're in Pensacola to enjoy the white sandy beaches of the Emerald Coast or for military training, we invite you to join us. Jesus is here. Word, water, bread and wine for you.
Emmanuel, God with us.
Stay Lutheran, my friends.
Do you struggle to reach out to friends or family members who have questions about Christianity? Well, we have just the resource for you. It's a new book titled What They Need to Hear, Sharing Christ with Family and Friends. It's written by regular guest Pastor Clement Preuss. What They Need to Hear is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040. Or you can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. What They Need to Hear, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June.
Well, Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilton. Bob and Tracy Lico are our guests, co-founders of Discernment Ministries International. They formerly were involved in the Charismatic Renewal Movement. We're walking through their story of journey from charismatic extremism to confessional Lutheranism. We're at the Issues, Etc. Making the Case Conference here at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Collinsville, Illinois. You can stop by and register for the conference. We take late registrations. You will not qualify for the meal plan, but you can still register today or tomorrow. It lasts all day tomorrow, 1300 Beltline Road in Collinsville, Illinois. Our call-in number 1-877-623-6943. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, and our Twitter address at @issuesetc. Okay, Tracy, you said you were looking for something where all you'd have to do is confess with your mouth, and then whatever it is you desired or whatever it is you wanted, would come to you. How did that theology work?
Well, God wants the best for me. I mean, God looks at me as if I am, you know, royal priesthood. God looks at me as chosen his child. So he wants me to drive the best, dress the best, have the best. He wants all of this. He wants me to feel the best. He wants me to be healed. And so he wants this for me. So why don't I help God out and say, yes, okay, I will. I want it too. And so I just had to believe and pray and speak in tongues all day and just listen to the word. So, and I was listening to Word of Faith tapes. You had to listen to them a lot because you had to build up your faith muscle so you could actually start claiming these things and walking this way and being the best and being the top and not the bottom.
Right. Yeah, you have to understand that for today's charismatic Christians, I don't like to use that term. I prefer to use the term sign gift because every one of us is a charismatic Christian. Every one of us is filled with the Holy Spirit. Every one of us has been gifted as he wills in some manner, according as God wills. So we're all charismatics, but they've co-opted the term. So the sign gift people, for them, faith is not trust and reliance in Christ. Faith is the ability within yourself to believe. And the stronger and more sincerely you can believe and hold on to whatever text.
Faith is a force.
Yes, it is a force that you master, and it grows. Like, right now I have enough faith to lift this bottle, or for a Volkswagen. I get a VW. That's where my faith is at. Lord Jesus, I believe to receive a VW, and I get the Volkswagen. See, my faith isn't developed yet for a Bentley, but I could get a Volkswagen.
I think Fred Price has a book called Ever Increasing Faith.
Yes. Yes. And so that was their understanding of faith. And so if we could simply develop our faith muscle, just like you lift weights, you develop your faith muscle, then when you speak what you believe in your heart, it will manifest. Now, the other side of the coin is to stop that from that desired manifestation, the enemy has to come in and dig up the seeds.
Doubt.
Yes, yeah, sow doubt.
And unbelief.
And also to get you to say negative words. I'll never get that Volkswagen. I really want it, but I don't know. I just dug my seed up. All the 2 years of previous confession, nullified. Start over. Get back on the treadmill. And that's what we found ourselves doing in the charismatic movement. We became very good workers because everything is a principle. Everything is a law. Everything has steps. Everything has rules, and if you play the game right, and this is an exact quote from Kenneth Copeland, if you play the game right, you win. Sickness is not winning. Poverty is not winning. Jesus has paid the price. He has taken all of our sickness and sin on the cross, so we don't have to bear any of it. And so if we do, it's a sign of lack of faith in what God has so graciously provided for us. So that puts a lot of burden on the individual to watch every word that you say. And also, when things were not going right, then you had to look within because why aren't I receiving my healing?
Because they would constantly give you examples of how they were victorious, how they were walking this walk of faith, how miracles were happening in their lives. They would start off a sermon with maybe 3 points, but most of it would be a story or examples that that they came across in their own personal lives. So you could look at a Gloria Copeland and you could see how beautiful she is and say, oh, you know, look at how she, right. And that's what Jerry Savelle said. Mm-hmm. He said, it's working for me. I don't know what everybody else's problem is. And so, you know, then if you're not getting what you're praying for, then there's something wrong with you.
With you. And so the burden comes on from a pastoral end. The burden comes on to the members of the congregation. As a pastor, I could never go to my congregants and say, John, how you doing? Ah, pastor, I'm blessed in the city. I'm blessed in the field. I'm above and not beneath. I'm the head and not the tail. You know, I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. I have an abundance. I give abundantly into every good work. Thanks for asking. How's your day? And meanwhile, I know the guy's got real problems at home, but he can't tell me that. So how do you get genuine ministry done? You don't in those churches. And so that's what we began to experience in the Word of Faith movement. We began to learn our words were powerful. Negative words were equally as powerful. Really, a dualistic universe exists for these folks. And you're the deciding factor. God's Word says this. Satan says that. Man's in the middle. Do I want to receive Christ or do I want to reject him and serve the devil? As if you had a choice in the matter. But that's where they place it. The onus is on you, the individual.
So you believed that your words, in a literal sense, that the sounds that came out of your mouth either spoke faith, mm-hmm. that force that you would exercise, or unbelief, that force that you would exercise
that's mm-hmm. what,
to create
Capps
your reality.
Said. Right. That's what Charles Capps said. Mm-hmm. He said, creating your own realities by the words in your mouth.
Right.
So how did it work that all these guys are driving Bentleys and everyone in the congregation is still praying for their Volkswagen? How does that work for them? I mean,
what we learned is that they books and their tapes. You know, everybody would come up after the services and then go to their book tables and buy all their books and buy all their tapes because that was the way we would gain this faith or ever-increasing faith. And so they got wealthy from our capitalism. They got wealthy mm-hmm. for our purchasing their materials.
Well, and they also taught us, of course, give and what? It shall be. Come on, giving back,
given.
What? Good measure, pressed
down,
shaking
together,
over.
Running over.
Running over. So the way that God is going to bless you is by giving.
All those big offerings.
And then the guys show up with the KFC buckets around the auditorium, and those things get filled up. I mean, we went down to Texas. We were at a meeting with Mr. Tilton before he lost that church, and this was with his first wife, still Marty. He said three wives. I like to mention that lapse on his part. But going there to see Tilton, we saw this man had all of this, but his people were not doing that well. And it was working for them. And we saw people come and throw money at this guy's feet. And he called another pastor up, and he looked at his shoes, and he said, what are those? And he goes, my shoes. Brother Tilton, he says, give me $1,000. You can't preach in anything less than $1,000 pair of shoes. And sure enough, there's $1,000 up there. Like, people couldn't, they fell over each other running to throw money at this guy because they believed by doing that, they're putting their faith in action. They're not just saying, they're doing it. They're acting on their faith. God now is obligated to open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing so great they cannot.
And the sad thing, too, is that happened in our own local church. Mm-hmm. In Detroit, we had a little congregation, maybe about 50 people, and they were the ladies, the single parents there. They had a hard time making ends meet. But then the charismatic preachers would come in and say, well, give till it hurts and give this big offering. And we had one prophet come in, and I don't know if we'll get a chance to get into the prophetic movement. But he came in and he said, give thousands of dollars. Give it right now. And so the people were desperate. The ladies were desperate. The people in there were like, look, I can't pay my phone bill. I can't pay my rent. But maybe if I give this offering. And see, they would also proof text.
Yo, yes.
You know,
the
they
widow's
would say
might.
The widow's might. And, yeah. And they would just show you little things from the Bible where when you gave your last, you know, God would show up. And so that would happen in little bitty churches. They mm-hmm. would just empty their pockets and run up there and give it to the offering.
Our,
and you know.
Our church that went from, the pastor was a graduate from Rhema, and this is, we're in Detroit now, Word of Faith Church, but he became a part of the prophetic movement and then later became an apostle. But that's another movement, but we'll talk about that later.
We can talk about it on the sub-break, yeah.
Yeah, but this was a small east side of Detroit, poor church. We had more people than 50. That church had a couple hundred. But we had a guy come in and raise like $15,000 cash from people on bridge cards and left with the money, too.
Hmm. Yeah. So. Well, let's take a break, and when we come back, I do want to hear about the prophetic movement, because that's the one that is probably the cutting edge right now. We have people who used to be in the mainstream of evangelicalism who are now claiming for themselves that they are apostles, that they are prophets, and it has drawn in an awful lot of people. We're talking with Bob and Tracy Lico, co-founders of Discernment Ministries International, formerly involved in the Charismatic Renewal Movement, just about every charismatic movement that there was to dish out. They've seen it. They've lived through it. We're broadcasting live from the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference here at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Collinsville, Illinois. I invite your questions and your comments, including questions from the audience. The microphone is right there. 1-877-623-MYIE. 877-623-6943. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Emmanuel Lutheran, Alexandria, Virginia. Bethel Lutheran, Ballinger, Texas. Mount Calvary Lutheran, Eola, Texas. Beautiful Savior Lutheran, Bridgeton, Missouri. Christ Our King Community Lutheran, Costa Mesa, California. Lord of Life Lutheran, Plano, Texas. Christ Lutheran, Platte Woods, Missouri. Hope Lutheran, Sonora, Texas. Faith Lutheran, Azona, Texas. And Emmanuel Lutheran, Steger, Illinois. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
In the 1500s, the Reformers grieved over the view people had of their callings in life, believing work done for the church superior to work done anywhere else. So the Reformers worked to restore a proper balance. But as it's written in Ecclesiastes, there's nothing new under the sun. 600 years later, with the thought of everyone a minister, haven't we gone back? The CLCC has released a new seminar on the doctrine of vocation, an important Lutheran teaching that has fallen into disuse over the years. The solution is to start teaching it once again. The seminar contains four lessons, with a standalone overview lesson available for circuit convocations. Serving our neighbors through our vocations is essential for the task of evangelism practiced according to Scripture. Contact us to schedule your seminar today at theclcc.org. That's theclcc.org. And please, consider joining the CLCC or making a donation to help us bring these powerful but low-cost seminars to the laity. theclcc.org.
A voice in the wilderness of American evangelicalism. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Does your church need a backup organist? The virtual organist service from Church Music Solutions is the next best thing to an on-site organist. Send us your musical choices, including liturgy and hymns. We'll assemble your service and send it to an iPad that controls your church's organ on Sunday. The result is genuine organ leadership on your instrument with your selections when you need it. See our videos on YouTube or visit our website at churchmusicsolutions.com.
Would you like for us to post information about your congregation on the Find a Church page of our website? We'll add your church when it becomes part of the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your church's mission or advertising budget. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 at issuesetc.org. Click support and publicize your congregation to the world.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's Friday, June the 14th, the first day of the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference here at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Collinsville, Illinois. Here in the second hour of the program, we're talking with Bob and Tracy Lico, co-founders of Discernment Ministries International, formerly involved in the Charismatic Renewal Movement. In a minute here, we're going to talk about the prophetic and apostolic movement. These things just continue to evolve and build upon one another. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943. Talk back at issuesetc.org. Even though we are doing a remote from Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, we are still able to take your email and your phone calls and your tweets at issuesetc. A question from the audience. Where are you from, and what's your name, and what's your question?
My name is John. I'm from Sugar Creek, Ohio, Amish country. Back in 97, little Assemblies of God church, I said the sinner's prayer and spoke in tongues.
You can't yes, I
Chandala.
All in one revival service, so I can understand a little bit of what you guys are saying. I have two quick questions. One is, would you guys agree that like Joel Osteen's kind of like a light version of Word of Faith?
Yes.
And then also the prophetic and the apostolic, the visions and dreams, would I be wrong in saying that that's mysticism?
Oh, no, you're absolutely correct.
You're correct on both counts.
Yes. In fact, I'll just say this about Joel Osteen. I've done a lot of writing about Joel. In fact, even Larry King cited me when he was talking to Joel once, which I felt pretty good about, because Larry King said, "Oh, Joel, you got a lot of critics. Bob Lico says that pastors should go to seminary, and what do you say about that?"
Well, Larry.
So that was all Joel had to say about that. But we knew his father, John. John Osteen was an interesting...
He was old school Word
of
Faith.
He started out a Baptist. He was
though.
A Southern
really
Baptist.
Good Baptist.
He actually went to seminary, earned his degree, which almost all of these teachers that you see on television... They have no earned degrees, none of them. Joyce Meyer, Copeland, all of them. But he actually earned a degree. He got spirit-filled, began to speak in tongues. The Baptists rightly kicked him out. And he started his church in Lakewood. And it was one of the early mega churches. John was a heretic as far as the positive confession and all of that nonsense. But he had a heart for missions. And his church reached out and did a lot and gave a lot overseas. Joel is not his father. His father preached the Bible. He may not have interpreted it correctly, but he used the scripture. Joel doesn't even use the scripture. Joel doesn't even mention sin, hell, damnation, because those things are negative. And you listen closely to his sermon, he does not go there, and he will not go there. And there's a lot of real concern about Joel's spiritual condition, frankly.
The other question that they had was John from Ohio had was, is the prophetic and apostolic movement mysticism?
Yes.
It's very much so. It's spiritual mysticism because it's gnosis. It's God did not reveal everything in the Bible. It's the sufficiency of the Bible is not there. So when you are praying in the tongues for hours and hours, and then a lot of times you're encouraged to fast. Mm-hmm. So you're fasting, you're praying, and you're seeking a word from God, and an inside, internal word from God. Not open up to John 3:16, but inside you're listening for these voices, or a voice, mm-hmm. to lead you and to direct you. And that's what mysticism is.
And that is what we were steeped in. In fact, I gave Todd a couple of last issues of our newsletter. I brought a few extra if people are interested. I did a two-part series. One was Christ in you, and the other part two, which I did for this month, is Christ for you. Now, what I've learned from Issues Etc. over 10-plus years hanging out with these guys is now people will say stuff at church that kind of get a little ticked at me, I think, but they'll say something, I'll say, it's not about you. It's about Christ for you. Oh, yeah, all right, you know. But see, for me, this has been the biggest blessing at the end of the we'll get back to the apostles and prophets in a second, but everything, well, I'll stay with the apostles and prophets. Everything that they taught us was was inward, was mystical, as my wife was saying. We focused in on every scripture that dealt with Christ in you, the hope of glory. And that became our focus. We didn't ever hear sermons or talk about what Christ has done for us. It's like, yeah, Jesus died on the cross. He did wonderful. He did the heavy lifting. Great. Now it's our job to kind of mop up and enforce the defeat of Satan and establish the kingdom of God so Jesus can return. That's what we believed. And we were setting out to do that as just as vigorously as we could. But it was all internal. Everything was looking within, Christ in you. And it was... Everything was subjective. I heard a voice. I had a dream, Pastor. Does this bear witness with your spirit? Oh, no, or yeah, okay. And you know, act accordingly. The glorious thing that, well, I get ahead of the story, but what's really precious is when you learn what Christ has done for you and you become established in objective reality versus subjective experience. Man, I'm a happy camper. I am a free man. I'm off the treadmill of works. There's nothing for me to do. I'm off my hands. That leaves me free to take care of my neighbor. Wow.
Amen.
How beautiful.
And to kind of bring it back to apostles and prophets, our pastor in Detroit, he was called to be a prophet, and then he was called to be an apostle. But he did look at us and say he never had a down day. He confessed that, and he supposedly believed it, and so we were supposed to believe it and walk in that way. He would tell us that he's like Moses, and the anointing that drips off of him is like the anointing that dripped off Aaron's beard and flows downward. So he is the top, we're in the down, and it's flowing downward, and it's going to reach us. One day, we're going to have that, walking in
trickle
power.
Trickle-down theory of the anointing.
Walking in that healing, walking in that power that God wants us to walk
just
in.
Just stay faithful, keep giving, keep confessing. Don't question your leaders. They hear from God. Right, you do what they right. say. They get the vision. You fulfill the vision. That was the role. And so this was, again, all brought in through people that started off as pastors. Then they decided to become up the food chain, became prophets, and began to hear from God. And there are many men and women, as Todd was mentioning, he's very popular today, that go around the country and the world declaring that they are spokesmen for the Lord. And as Tracy mentioned, the scripture is no longer sufficient for them. They say this is the Bible, let's say. This is where God has been. It's good, it's true, it's valid. These are the dusty footprints of where God has been. Now we are
branching
out.
We're in a new move. We're in a new time.
And now we are coming into a place where
anointing.
The Lord hasn't been yet. Now we're writing the 29th. We're writing the last chapter of the book of Acts today. We are God's people. This is happening through us. So we need a word from God. Since the Bible's passé, I got to hear a current word, a now word, a present day truth. So someone will stand up and say, yea, verily, thus saith the Lord God. You're called to go to Africa, and you know, you're this and that, and the Lord's going to do a marvelous thing in the city of Collinsville. Yea, verily, great revival is coming upon thee. You know, blah, 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 blah. And everyone go, oh, wow, oh, it's exciting. Write it down, study it, see what parts of the prophecy we have to act on, because here's a dirty little secret. All of those prophecies, if you listen to them, they're conditional. And then if you don't meet the conditions, you go, you're a false prophet. Oh, no, I'm not. You didn't meet the conditions. The Lord said through me, do A, B, and E, and he'd do this. You didn't do it, obviously, because it didn't come to pass. So that's their out, and that's how they get away with it. But there are these people everywhere.
That's pretty convenient.
Oh, well, it's very
convenient. I'd like to be able to use that sometime, but I don't think my
conscience
would.
You fear God
would
too much?
Yeah. I fear God. At least I try to. Another question from the audience. What's your name and where are you from?
My name is Robert Porter. I'm Emeritus Professor of Theology at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. My question has to do with the fact of the interrelationship between one group and another. But in the 1960s, Time magazine had an article about Father, he was called Father Kukorn. He'd written a book called including the Frontiers, I think it was, is about different denominations in America. Time Magazine pointed out, ironically, that this man had joined the latest, brought the latest, that was the LCA and the Seminary Committee. But anyway, within about 10 years, there were reports of 20,000 denominations in the United States, instead of 636, and now 20,000. Now, why was that? Because every individual congregation of the Pentecostals was its own denomination. Mm-hmm. They had no relationship with one another. Now, is that a factor today? They really had no contact with one another?
Yeah, what happened was post-World War II, there was a great healing revival in America started by a man named William Branham, who was one of the first recognized, officially, prophets in America. And he's still revered today. He was a oneness Pentecostal. He denied the Trinity. But he had some amazing powers that I believe were demonic, in that he could... people today, they're Branhamite churches. It became its own denomination after William Branham, and they watch his videos, that they have a few videotapes, and they read his sermons. But he would come up, and I've seen the videos, and I was always very impressed with this guy originally. I thought, this is what I want, and I was after what he had, and I didn't get it.
Well, let's take a break here, and I'll let you pick up on the other side of the break. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Bob and Tracy Lico are our guests. We're talking about their journey from charismatic extremism to confessional Lutheranism.
Christological.
My friends, Jesus comes only for sinners.
Historical.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by...
Sacramental.
Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins.
To find a Christological, historical, and sacramental church near you, go to issuesetc.org and click Find a Church. The radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Well, you know, you sometimes hear from people that the liturgy itself is a barrier to reaching out with the Word of God and the good news of Jesus Christ. And I believe that's just a bunch of baloney.
Pastor Will Whedon, on his presentation, Classical Christian Worship, at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, this summer in Collinsville, Illinois.
The liturgy itself is overwhelmingly the very Word of God by which the outreach takes place. And it is an incredibly crafted balance of stuff that stays the same and of stuff that changes. So it has stability and variety automatically built into it, and it frees up the pastor to work on proclaiming the mystery of Christ that particular liturgy is holding up for the people on that day. I think it's a great outreach tool rather than thinking of it as something that's a barrier.
Register for the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 14th and 15th in Collinsville, Illinois at issuesetc.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Bob and Tracy Lico are our guests for another 10 minutes here. And we're talking about their journey from the charismatic extremism that took so many different forms, kind of increasingly professional Lutheranism. We're broadcasting live from the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference here at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Collinsville, Illinois. We had a question before from the audience about how each one of these things is kind of its own denomination. You were using Branham as an example.
What happened starting approximately 1950. Branham had already been teaching for about 6 years, and it was very popular, was drawing huge tent meetings, international, went international. This guy had a fifth grade education, was born in a shack in the hills of Kentucky, was a very humble man, but very wrong. Nonetheless, Branham began to teach that denominations were the great whore of Babylon, and for God's true people to come out of denominations. That almost destroyed the Assemblies of God, and they took a strong stance in 1950 or 51 against the Latter Rain movement, which is what Branham's thing was called, the New Order of the Latter Rain. And so that's when all these churches went independent. And so now most of these independent charismatic churches are just that. They have no denominational authority, no one above them to complain to or talk to. There's no sort of a synod or presbytery.
No accountability.
No accountability. It's the pastor. He hears from God. Either you submit to that or believe he's heard from God, or
and,
you go somewhere else.
Women can be pastors,
oh, yes.
And
oh, yes.
Women can be evangelists, prophets and
apostles.
So that increases the number as well.
All right, we have another question here. We might have to adjust that microphone upward if, unless you want to sit on your knees there.
You can genuflect.
It doesn't bother me at all, guys, really.
Who are you? Where are you from?
My name is Roger Lawler from Olathe, Kansas. I have a question in regard to kind of a follow-up to that man's question, and that is he kind of talked about how many denominations have spread from these guys. How about, what's the common element here? Besides Satan, okay. Besides the deception, the common element, if we take it away, what happens?
I would say the Holy Spirit and the power of God. I would say that second baptism where you speak in other tongues, mm-hmm. And the power of God. Because
yeah.
I think even if you drill it down, if you go from the apostolic movement, prophet movement, and the word of faith, they all agree on the Holy Spirit's work. This is the Holy Spirit's time now, everybody.
Yeah, yeah, yes. Mm-hmm. And well, that's...
Okay, I have a follow-up on that one, and that is with regard to the apostolic and prophetic movement, I first noticed it. You guys probably saw it coming a mile away, but I first noticed it with C. Peter Wagner, mm-hmm. who was formerly known as a very mainstream evangelical.
Yeah.
He was kind of the guru of church growth that mm-hmm. everybody was following around like a puppy for years and years. But he himself has even been drawn into this apostolic.
Yes.
I don't know if he thinks he's a prophet or an apostle.
Oh, he's an apostle.
Oh, he is.
Yeah, that's the Dr. Wagner. He's the only guy that actually has an earned doctorate. Yeah, he was a teacher at Fuller for a while. Yeah, he has started. His thing is called the new Apostolic Reformation. Yeah, NAR. Yeah, New Apostolic Reformation, which he is one of the chief apostles. And what these people do, the theory is that God has set in the body ministry gifts, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, even though we know pastor, teacher, you know, the same. So fivefold ministry. Every church cannot, this congregation cannot be all that it can be in Christ without receiving an impartation from all five of the ministry gifts, the apostle, the prophet, the pastor, the evangelist, the teacher, must sow into your lives in order for you to become the overcoming member of Joel's army, the victorious remnant, however term you care to use. And so they've got these people that believe that this is what has to happen. And even though you take people that claim to be apostles, you show them in the Bible what the qualifications are and say, well, did you see Jesus? You know, were you part of his ministry? Did you see him crucified and raised? Well, no, but I'm like Paul, one called out of time. Wow. That's pretty good if you want to say you're like Paul.
Yeah. You know. That's also very convenient, too. Another question from our audience.
Hello. I'm Heather Asbeck from Collinsville, Illinois. And my question has to do with, I should first clarify by saying I grew up in the Word of Faith movement.
Okay.
So I'm really familiar with this, but I was wondering if the core problem or the core issue here with the Word of Faith movement is falling prey to that, you know, that oldest temptation that Satan presented, you know, Eve with, is the desire to be like God.
Yes.
You know, I think about this creative power that God has. You know, he created the world with use of his voice.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus stilled the wind and the waves. He says, you know, this is my body.
And you're supposed
to
do his works.
Right. So I'm wondering, is this an attempt to usurp God's power? And You know, so is this a first commandment issue, a desire to not only be like God, but to sort of be God?
Yes,
and
that
take
is
control
it.
Of the world.
Yeah, that is it. You come away with that a lot in Word of Faith, is to be like God. You're God's representative on the earth. You know, we have an earth suit and our spirit has been empowered. And so we walk around this earth and we're to be like little gods.
Exactly. We're little Christs. We're little anointed ones. In fact, now, Creflo Dollar, who on television, he has taken the word for the anointing, because Christ can also mean anointed or anointing, depending on how. So where the Bible will say Christ, he just puts in the word anointing. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. No longer. I can do all things through the anointing that strengthens me. And he thinks he's being really clever and very Greek in stating it that way. But he's taken our Lord out of the picture and has just reduced Jesus Christ to mere power and ability to do stuff and fulfill carnal desires, because it is carnal to want to have lots of money and nice stuff. I mean, that's all part of the old Adam, guys. It is. But that's very popular, though. We all have him, and he loves to be fed.
That leads to kind of my last question for both of you, and that is, and you spoke very eloquently before, Bob, about the contrast, the basic contrast of Christ in you, which is where you were, and Christ for you, which is where the truth of Scripture has brought you. Who is Jesus in the Word of Faith, prophetic, apostolic, charismatic, whatever label we want to put on it? Who is Jesus in all those movements? I mean, they will say Savior, they will say crucified and risen from the dead, but bottom line, day to day, is he the forgiver of sins? Is he the shower of mercy? Is he the substitute on the cross?
He's an example. He was a man filled with the Holy Ghost just like you and me.
Yeah, Jesus didn't come and minister as God. He never used his divine powers. He's laid aside all of his divinity. And upon receiving the Holy Spirit at his baptism in the Jordan, then he was led by the Spirit out and then, you know, began to work miracles. So the point being is that since Jesus ministered only as a man anointed, filled with the Holy Spirit, and he comes to the apostles, disciples, and says, the works I do, you shall do, and greater works. Well, they receive the same Holy Spirit, and they're men too. But they're born again men, so they're not sinful men like they used to be. So now they can do the works of Jesus. Now you and I should be doing the works of Jesus and greater works, because we now have the same Spirit. But that's how they saw Jesus. He was a man. He was the second person of the Godhead.
They said he was the firstborn among many brethren.
Yes. And when Jesus came, he died on the cross, but that was not the end of the story. He went to hell, fought, and was tormented by Satan and demons in hell for 3 days, throws them off, and God looks down over heaven, the throne, and he sees his son, and he's become victorious, and he raises him up, and Jesus then is the firstborn from the dead, a born-again man, they teach, defeated Satan, not God the Son on the cross, but a man in hell defeated him. Now, that's just blasphemy, and that is their doctrine of salvation. That's how they see Jesus Christ. It's in their books. It's in their writings.
So the Christ in you isn't Christ. It's you.
Right.
Yeah. I looked a long time inside. I didn't find anything. And I tried really hard. I mean, I fasted for weeks. I've floated in sensory deprivation tanks. I've laid hands on people in coffins, commanding them to rise up in Jesus' name, because I've got the books on how to raise the dead and how to live forever. Actual books, how to live forever.
I don't want to read those books.
Well, they're small. They're very thin. Doesn't take long.
Bob and Tracy Lee are co-founders of Discernment Ministries International. They were formerly involved in the Charismatic Renewal Movement. I should say that Tracy's very close to being Dr. Tracy Lico, in a subject that I still find imponderable, the new perspective on Paul. And Bob has the best clerical shirt I have ever seen in my life. That is just fancy.
That's the Heresy Hunters.
Okay.
Formal wear.
Thank you very much for being our guest,
guys.
Well,
thank you.
Thank you, Todd.
And it's great being a Lutheran, a completed Christian.
Folks, you will find a link to Discernment Ministries International at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Now, you can still register for the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. It started right now. It started with the advent of the program today here at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Collinsville, Illinois. We are still happy to take registrants. You cannot qualify for the meal plan, but that's okay. You can still register for the conference that goes on from tonight and will continue tomorrow as well. So come out and register. 1300 Collinsville, it's 1300 Beltline Road in Collinsville, Illinois. You can meet and hear from Pastor Will Whedon, Dr. Rod Rosenblatt, Dr. Alvin Schmidt will be here, Chris Roseborough of Fighting for the Faith, Suzanne Venker as well, and we're all going to be making the cases in our various areas of interest and expertise at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference right here at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Collinsville, Illinois. Special thanks to Pastor Mike Walther, to Marty Hoffman, to Gary Duncan, to David Adams and the Licos, to Sam Caputa and Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, and to all our volunteers. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you Monday. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Did you know that Logia, a journal of Lutheran theology, sells CDs and audio downloads of teachings by some of the top Lutheran theologians in the country? Check out Logia's 99-cent download of the month at shop.logia.org. Shop.logia.org. You'll also find books published by Luther Academy and, of course, the quarterly Logia Journal at shop.logia.org. Continuing education for the confessional Lutheran, shop.logia.org.
Repentance and forgiveness, sin and grace, law and gospel. More than cliches, real preaching for real people in need of hearing the real Christ. Christ for You and the Divine Service at St. Paul Lutheran Church of Hamel, Illinois, where we gather every Saturday night at 6 and on the Lord's Day, Sunday mornings at 7:45 and 10. Look for the Church of the Neon Cross on I-55 between exits 30 and 33. Find us on the web, stpaullutheranchurchhamel.org. St. Paul Lutheran Church of Hamel, where there is the forgiveness of sins, life and salvation for the people of God.